Hello, and welcome to the Sport Horse Podcast. I'm Nicole Lakin.
And I'm Tim Warden. And today we are talking about a topic that will for sure be top of mind for everyone who's listening at home.
Yeah, today's show is a great one. And just quick housekeeping note before we get into it. This is going to be our last episode for a little bit. We're taking a little summer hiatus, but we are excited to come back in the fall and bring you some great new episodes. So don't be too sad. Just a little bit of a break for Tim and I to, you know, to focus on some other really cool and exciting things. And we'll be back in the fall. But we're leaving you off with a really great episode here, getting into diagnosis of back pain. It's so important, impacts horses of every discipline, every level. And it's also something that's really challenging to diagnose, you know, really specifically, because as you'll hear soon, or you already know if you're a veterinarian, there's so many causes of back pain. Sometimes it's primary, sometimes it's secondary or tertiary, but regardless, it's so important to the overall well-being, performance, and also welfare of horses. So really excited to share this episode with you guys. And again, we'll be back in the fall. So, you know, stay tuned for exciting things to come.
So we have two expert guests today. The first is Dr. Natalia Demanska-Krupa, who graduated from Warsaw University of Life Sciences in 2008, and then spent 8 years of practical training in the field of equine orthopedics and surgery in Germany. After completing postgraduate doctoral studies at the University of Veterinary Medicine in Hanover, she received an academic degree of Doctor of Veterinary Medicine in 2020. Together with her husband, she founded a private equine clinic encompassing a rehabilitation and training center for equine athletes in Poland. And then since 2021, she also works part-time as an assistant professor in the Department of Large Animal Diseases and Clinic at Warsaw University of Life Sciences, where she specializes in equine surgery, orthopedics, and orthopedic shoeing. She currently runs a scientific program examining a multidisciplinary approach to equine back pain, and she is also an enthusiastic dressage rider and has competed up to the Grand Prix level. And then our second guest is Dr. Ella Stefanik, who graduated from the Faculty of Veterinary Medicine of the Warsaw University of Life Sciences in 2021. And during the last year of her studies, she was employed at the university, where she had the opportunity to combine clinical work with research, which shed new light on her entire postgraduate career. After graduating, she completed a one-year clinical internship in Belgium and then returned to Warsaw, where she started clinical and scientific work. She's been working with Natalia for 1.5 years, and together they are working on a large project regarding back disease in horses. The topic of her doctoral thesis is the use of electromyography in the analysis of movement in horses. Hi, Natalia and Ella, and welcome to the Sport Horse Podcast.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Yep. So we're really, really excited for this episode. It's a topic that has, you know, relevance to all of our listeners. And you recently published a manuscript in the journal Animals covering the current state of the art of diagnosing back pain in horses. Since this is the Sport Horse Podcast, can we begin by having you discuss some of the common causes of back pain in sport horses? And maybe Natalia will start with you.
Yes, of course. Before we start to list those multiple causes of back pain, well, I would like to point out how serious and widespread this problem has become, because the population of horses suffering under back pain is really continuously growing in the recent years. And we should realize that between 48 and 54% of all horses in dressage and show jumping or eventing show a real clinical signs of back disease, what means that almost every second sport horse being affected. And therefore, back pain is considered one of the most common syndromes in all ridden horses, with the school horses being as twice as often affected with back pain than other working horses. So it's responsible for chronic pain or poor performance or many behavioral issues, as well as impaired ability to work or non-specific lameness. Well, so it can really change horses' life being all the time under pain, and it can also cause some additional diseases such as gastric ulcers, for example, yeah, which are now also so known and so popular among all the sport horses. So let's just think, why is it like that? Because normally it's obvious for everybody that the limbs are responsible for locomotion. But when we really consider the biomechanics of equine movement and equitation at all, we should point out that equine back as a suspension bridge between the thoracic and pelvic limbs plays really a fundamental role in all equine disciplines because it transfers all the forces to move horse's body forward and additionally carries the rider's weight. Well, that's why whatever goes wrong somewhere else in the body of the horse, it has to have a reflection in the form of some back pain, yes? So you see how important it is and why we have so many back pain problems. So maybe coming back to the causes, we can just simply divide them into pathologies related to bony or soft tissue structures, neurological disorders, or tuck-related problems. So if we have enough time, we can just get through all of those specific conditions if you want. Yes, so I can just point all of them out. The most recognizable osseous problem among the all equine community and all the riders know this kissing spine syndrome. And it's all about that vertebrae in the spine are too close together rather than being spaced apart. And with jumping and dressage horses having the highest incidence of lesions. And as clinical signs, we can all see a resistance to groom or saddle or resistance to girth, pain or palpation or vague lameness, hypermobility of the spine, or the most seen like refusing jumps or overall poor performance. Yes, so it's very popular and it's well known. But we can also have degenerative disease in the ventral joints on the ventral aspect of the vertebral bodies. So not on the upside of the vertebral bodies, but on the downside. And we talked then about ventral spondylosis. And it appears on radiograms as an osseous bridge between adjacent vertebral bodies. And in the horse, it can cause acute pain or chronic back stiffness. And in some advanced cases, osseous osteophytes can even compress nerves or grow into vertebral canal and compress the spinal cord. But it's really very, very rare, yes? Well, some other pathology results from presence of osseous abnormalities on the intervertebral joints of thoracolumbar spine, and it's known as osteoarthritis of articular processes. And affected horses can present overall full body stiffness or reduced hind limb impulsion and toe drag, as well as epaxial mass atrophy and problems with picking up legs, for example, by the farrier, or even hyperbolic lifting of the hind limbs, which I think is also popular, and we can also hear it from the owners that the horse doesn't want to give one of the hind limbs or by lifting is making an exacerbated movement, yes? As very popular in human or dogs, we can distinguish also in horses intervertebral disc disease, where we talk about inflammatory or degenerative condition of the intervertebral discs in the thoracolumbar spine. But it's thought to be rare in horses, and the clinical signs are reported only in severe cases. And we talk about ataxia of forelimbs or unspecific lameness. And we will definitely diagnose it more often in the future because of increased availability of modern imaging techniques. Yes, what was like until now not so popular. And the last group of bony pathologies are vertebral fractures. And they can occur everywhere in the thoracolumbar spine, in the vertebral bodies, or with the dorsal spinous processes in the withers. And we can see them during catastrophic falls, during jumping or high-speed falls, with complete vertebral body fractures, and sometimes they result in spinal cord damage and can have really dramatic consequences like a paraplegia and a recumbent horse. But in most cases, spinal cord remains unaffected and we can only feel local pain and swelling, and the prognosis is good with conservative treatment. Well, what else? We can also have some congenital deviations of the spine, and we can see some horses showing scoliosis or dorsal deviation of the thoracolumbar spine, so-called kyphosis. Maybe we know it better like roach back, or if there is downwards curvature of the spine, we talk about lordosis, yes? So the top line, the whole top line is curved downwards. In such cases, the horses are rarely having some clinical issues, but what is challenging in those horses, of course, saddle feet is challenging, yes? Because they don't have a nice top line. Well, so those would be, I think, all osseous problems that we can distinguish in horses. But of course, we have a lot of pathologies of soft tissues. So muscles and ligaments and other tissues in the spine. And the most popular is the sympathy of supraspinous ligament. And it's a very important ligament that stabilizes the whole thoracolumbar spine, as it forms attachments on each summit of dorsal spinous processes, and also it keeps all the thoracolumbar spine like in an appropriate alignment. So in potential causes of the sympathy are influenced by strains during excessive ventriflexion or excessive saddle pressure, or can also result secondary from other pathologies like kissing spines. And another important group of pathologies of soft tissues are strains within apexial or hypaxial musculature of the spine, because muscles are a very important part of the whole spine. And they can lead really to severe back pain. And the largest muscle of horse's back, longissimus dorsi muscle, can suffer from ill-fitting saddle or unbalanced rider. And very common problem is also too heavy rider on the horse's back, or even lameness elsewhere in the horse, or ulcerative gastric syndrome. They can all result in strain in longissimus dorsi muscle. And very important is also when we have a horse inappropriate training or inadequate warm-up for an expected workload, it can all cause severe pain in the muscle. Yeah? So another important muscle, and it's the most important postural muscle in the horse, is multifidus muscle. And it's good to know why this muscle is so exceptional, because it influences the neuromotor control and the proprioception of the whole horse. So whatever happens in the other muscles or in other structures of the horse's back, it has its dysfunction of the multifidus muscle. So it's very important to implement rehabilitation and strengthening exercises of this muscle as a basic element of the therapy for all other back diseases. We are going to the hindquarters now, and the most important muscle in the hindquarters. And we will talk a little bit about iliopsoas muscle, which strain is often underdiagnosed and not really treated by the veterinarians. And it's a very important deep hypoaxial muscle, which consists of three other muscles, like psoas major and psoas minor and iliacus muscle. And its main role is to stabilize the spine in the lumbosacral area. And this muscle is particularly involved in the engagement of hindquarters and moving the whole hind limb forward in the swing phase. So when a strain occurs and pain occurs, it's always manifested by a lack of propulsion and inability to step under or resistance to collection. And it's so popular when we talk to the riders that they cannot do appropriate piaf or pirouette because the horses are really resistant to collection. Yeah. So due to its location, this muscle is really not accessible for palpation. And its dysfunction is mainly manifested by bilateral sacroiliac joint pain. So whenever we treat sacroiliac joint, we also have to treat iliopsoas muscle. And always think about this muscle group during the rehabilitation of sacroiliac joint diseases. So as you see, well, we got through the soft tissues and the very big group of back pain causing factors are all the tack or rider related issues. Yes, like ill-fitting saddle or bridles, unbalanced rider to heavy rider, and force distribution on the horse's back, which is influenced by rider core strength or rider's limb strength, as well as coordination and balance. So please just be aware of this and incorporate enough core exercises yourself before mounting up your horse. Because, you know, whatever is unbalanced on the horse's back can really lead to severe secondary back pain. Yeah. So as you can see, the scope of possible pathologies is so extensive, and diagnostic process is often very challenging. And that's why we need to combine several professions and modern diagnostic tools to really get the best results.
Yeah, that's a great overview. So thank you so much. I can't help but notice one of the consistent things that I heard when you were describing all these different pathologies and diagnoses is some sort of behavioral and performance issue. And so that's a nice lead-in to, you know, talking about the diagnosis of back pain and identifying exactly which of these pathologies is causing these symptoms. So Ella, could you share with us the current gold standard diagnostic tools and what they tell us that leads to the best kind of diagnosis when it comes to back pain?
So let's start with the fact that all diagnostic begins with clinical examination and throughout history. And first of all, we should start by determining whether the problem is pain-related or whether it's a behavioral or schooling problem. And next, it's important to define whether the back pain is indeed present. And first of all, I would like to emphasize that, especially in the case of back diseases, we should evaluate the horse as a whole and have a holistic approach. And many other conditions can mimic the back pain. And this is what Natalia said, that in our clinical practice, the most common are, I think, gastric ulcers and dental problems as well. We also have some experience with post-castration scars, which indeed can cause low back pain. However, this is what I mean saying that we should evaluate the horse as a whole. Sometimes back pain is not back problem in origin. So I think that in the case of back diseases where the symptoms are often non-specific, the clinical instinct and experience are very important. So it's important to perform the thorough examination of the horse for other problems as well. But we also should focus on the other orthopedic problems. We should focus on the neck and pelvis and also for our hind limbs, because secondary back problems are much more common than primary cases, and majority are due to the chronic lameness located anywhere else. In clinical workup, we should focus on isolating the site of pain. And it's important to remember that not all changes detected using diagnostic imaging are clinically significant. And I like the term diagnostic imaging fishing trip, and this is exactly what we should avoid. So we should perform complete examination that includes the inspection at rest, observation, back palpation. The initial inspection follows with the host standing four square on a flat hard surface to carry out general appraisal of the conformation of its back, fore and hind limbs, as well as assessing its general condition and muscling. The assessment of symmetry of the pelvis and hind quarter is also extremely important in differentiating a pelvic or hind limb problem. One of the most important parts of the clinical examination is palpation of the thoracolumbar spine, any spasm or guarding of any of the musculature of the thorax and lumbar regions may be part of primary problem or an indicator of the deeper pain. We also should perform examination in exercise. And the next stage, although I think it has already become a standard, is the saddle check for a proper fit to the individual horse. Observing the horse under the saddle or in a harness should also be a part of workup. And then we have radiography, which is one of the fundamental diagnostic methods assessing bony structures suspected of pathological changes. Key findings related to pathological lesions in the thoracolumbar spine, including impinging dorsal spinosus processes, sclerosis, osteolysis, intra and periarticular remodeling, and vertebral fractures. Since the appearance of radiographic symptoms rarely corresponds with the degree of clinical signs, other functional diagnostic methods are essential to improve the accuracy of the diagnosis. We also have ultrasound, the most helpful in evaluating the soft tissue lesions like supraspinatus ligament or muscles of the top line, as well as spinosus processes itself and fascia joints as well. And finally, we have bone scan, which is an option when the standard modalities are inconclusive or specific findings require advanced diagnostic imaging. The article that we wrote also describes infrared thermography. And although it's not a gold standard, it's very useful for saddle fit assessment or to evaluate rider-horse interaction. We also described other methods of objectifying back examination, such as pressure algometers, the use of lameness detection systems, biometric mats, and electromyography as well.
What we now focus on really is electromyography, because what we really want to do is to incorporate it into daily practice in our team, and hitting in the future that we can like really tailor an exercise physiotherapy program for every back pain patient and just follow up the muscle activity and just see how it changes and how it works after the therapy, because it's the only method to see the muscles function at all. Yes. How it improves or how it is during the pathological process. So that's what we are really doing now.
Yeah, I'm very curious. We've had a few other guests on here join us to talk about how they're using electromyography in their clinical research. Could you talk to us a little bit about how you envision the tool being incorporated into more clinics around the world in the future? Just because, as some of our previous guests have said, there are some challenges to using it in practice just around just the use of the technology and needing to shave the hair very close to the skin and keeping the sensors, you know, in place. And there's not a good way to do it under the saddle and things like that. So could you just share a little bit of your thoughts on that?
You know what? I personally think that there is still a lot of work to be done in the field of electromyography. And it seems to me that this will not be a method that will be available in the clinics in the near future. I'm more convinced that electromyography will be available at specific centers in the world as additional method for some specific purposes, like for a back pain evaluation.
Sure.
We mainly focus analyzing movement patterns, especially in the early detection of tension, muscle spasm, any compensatory changes in the gait. But I think we also can use it to develop tailored rehabilitation training programs and monitor therapy progress. Because most mobilization exercises used in hypertrophy are based on the general principles, knowledge, and experience of human physical therapy, combined right. with the biomechanics of the horse and the nature of the condition involved. So I think we should focus also on the activity of the muscles during specific exercises. And it's necessary to better understand the techniques used to optimize rehabilitation and improve the efficiency of training plans. But as I said in the beginning, there is still a lot of things to do. And we had a lot of problems in the beginning of our research because the topic is still missing in a lot of methodology mainly.
And you mentioned there that maybe it has its place in the more specialty centers. Natalia, I know that you have a very interesting approach to building up that multidisciplinary team to treating back pain issues. Can you maybe describe like, what your vision is for a specialty center that does have a focus on equine back pain?
Well, yes, indeed. I have this luck to work with a whole team of professionals by my side who help me in diagnosing many health issues that can be responsible for back pain. And for example, an experienced rider, which my husband is, can tell me which movements are causing difficulties or even discomfort to the horse much earlier than I could even recognize it by palpating the neck. So if the rider signals problem, for example, with collection and extension, so changing the stride length, especially in lines with several fences, well, it would suggest me that the horse has difficulty to open lumbosacral junction. So I would focus my attention on this area. And I can ultrasound the lumbosacral joint and multifidus muscle in this area. But if it doesn't give me any answer what the underlying problem could be, I would ask an experienced osteopath if she could feel some altered range of motion or pathological fascia tension at lumbosacral level. And in the meantime, I would also assess hind limb posture and hoof balance. And if the horse has additionally counted in posture and tension in the gluteal region, well, I could suspect the occurrence of negative plantar angles in the hind hooves. So the next step would be to prove it radiologically. And if it turns out to be the cause, an experienced farrier can support my back pain therapy by creating positive plantar angles and improving the hoof balance around the center of the rotation of coffin joint, well, with corrective trimming and orthopedic shoeing. So as you can see, well, I incorporated already the rider and osteopath and the farrier in this one case. But if it still doesn't give me an answer why the horse has problems with opening lumbosacral junction, I could ask a physiotherapist because sometimes they report like tensed iliopsoas muscle or painful flank and external abdominal oblique muscles and also reactive underlying fascia lines. And in this case, if the physiotherapist tell me that there is like the tension almost everywhere in the hindquarters, I would look for another reason and maybe palpate the inguinal region if it was a gelding. So I would let the skin and underlying subcutaneous tissue to slip through my fingers to check for the presence or absence of spermatic cord remnants. And in some geldings, they can be really painful and cause a dangerous defense reaction. Yes. Yeah? So we can just go farther with this and just try to do the infiltration anesthesia of this region. And if the horses improves, we can perform the surgery to release this scarring adhesions tissue at the castration site. Yes. Yeah? So there are, you know, many problems all around, and there is rarely a plain back pain problem, except from really like real bony or articular issues that we've already talked about. And most of the time we have to deal with a complex pathology, which has its reflection in the back pain. So that's why we need a multi-professional approach of diagnosing and treating and both back pain and underlying pathology. Yeah. So, well, I have more examples if you want. Well, the other example could be the horse that is cooperating really nicely with the rider in trot and walk on the straight line, circles, and during lateral movements, but is really reluctant to move forward in canter and defending really through rearing and bucking. And the rider reports that each attempt to push the horse forward would provoke even stronger defensive reaction. So after excluding all the traditional orthopedic issues and going through a thorough orthopedic examination, well, we should stop for a while and think about the whole trunk biomechanics during canter. And in the suspension phase, the abdominal wall muscles are flexing extensively into vertebral joints. So the spine and the whole top line is more convex. And in the propulsion phase, the opposite happens, and the thoracolumbar region is working in extension, and the top line becomes more concave. And these alternating movements could be really challenging for a proper saddle fit in some horses. And sometimes the saddle fit seems to be appropriate in static and walk and trot, but the situation can change really dramatically during canter or during takeoff phase by jumping or landing. Some horses really feel discomfort when landing after the jumping obstacles. So that's why really some horses experience discomfort only during particular movements. That's why it's essential to really talk to the riders and just hear what they feel, you know, mounting a horse. Yes. So summarizing all that we've discussed and realizing the significant impact of back pain on the horse performance and welfare, what is now really like a big thing at all in the equitation community. My goal is to create multidisciplinary and really individually tailored rehabilitation program for every back pain. Yes. And to achieve this, we need a proper hoof balance. We need healthy fascia, well-fitting equipment, a good rider that can feel any signs of discomfort before they turn into clinically manifested pathology. And of course, we need advanced diagnostic modalities as superficial electromyography, which is the best tool to connect the science with the daily practice. Yes, and that's what we want to do, as Ella said, at our facility, just to connect all the professionals and all the possible diagnostic tools just to find out the best way to help the horses.
Perfect. That's really fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I think you've given us all so much food for thought. And I mean, everything that you just shared too is just so much in line with, you know, our sort of parent company Ignite and everything that they are trying to promote and encourage is that multidisciplinary and holistic approach to horse care and management in the prevention of pain and injury, but also, you know, strong rehabilitation and multidisciplinary approaches. And also, you know, looking at the rider as an athlete, both individually and in concert with their horse. So just so much good stuff in there. And you've been so generous with your time, but I think in respect of your busy schedules, I'll just ask one last question of both of you. And Ella, we'll start with you. And this is a question that we ask all of our guests at the end of each episode. So If you could speak directly to a horse and the horse could understand you, what would you want to tell them?
That's the good question. I wish they would tell me where they feel the pain, but then I think our work wouldn't be so special.
And Natalia?
Well, I would thank horses for hitting my heart with an arrow of horse love from my childhood. Like, really, it's a great privilege to share both my professional and private life with you. And just to hear your joyful neighing outside my bedroom window every morning. So I will do all my best to make your lives at our side a little bit better, my dear fellows. And just please stay with me just as long as I can.
Perfect. Two really nice sentiments from you both. And again, thank you so much. Really enjoyed hearing from both of you. We'll share a link to the paper in our show notes so that people can go and read it. I would encourage everyone to go and check it out because it's a really, really well-written manuscript. And again, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll be bugging you to appear again in the future on our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting us and focusing on the back pain problem as it's really a welfare issue of our horses. So that's what we have to carry about. And don't forget it, that they can't work under pain. So just hope it's going to be better in the future. And we all do our best to change it. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just a great episode to wrap up to be our last one for the summer break. And then, as Nicole mentioned, we'll see you again in the fall. But just fantastic content. I think Ella and Natalia just did a great job of covering what is such a complex issue. Anything back related, whether it's in animals or humans, is always incredibly complex. It's such an important structure. It links everything together. And you have, like, you know, the nervous system running through it. You have the bony structures. You have so much muscle around it. And so just a really, really fantastic job from them of highlighting some of the key pathologies, some of the tools that are available. And then as well, I really enjoyed Natalia's examples towards the end, because I think it puts a really rich picture in our mind of probably issues that many of us have experienced in the saddle with, you know, how horses respond to certain types of movements where they may be quite reactive, and then they can do other movements, you know, completely unaffected. So just a really great episode, and go and check out their manuscript. It's a really, really fascinating read.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really exciting to hear from both of them and to learn about what they're doing at their clinic. I think it's a really important approach to a really important problem. And we talk a lot with all of our guests about the importance of multidisciplinary approach and the importance of looking at the whole horse, and also, you know, the impact of the rider on the horse, and how important it is for the rider to work on their own, you know, stability and flexibility and strength because of their impact on the horse. And so I thought it was just a really nice way to pull it all together, and good food for thought. Leave you for our summer break. And with that, that's a wrap. So as usual, you can find our show notes wherever you're listening to this podcast, or on our website at www.sporthorsepodcast.com. While you're there, check out all the exciting things that Ignite has coming up. We've got workshops, we've got online on-demand content, we have rehab rounds. We've just got all kinds of really exciting things on there that really connect and overlap with a lot of our great episodes and guests. And some of our podcast guests are, you know, featured in some of those other opportunities. So if you have a favorite, definitely go and check all that stuff out. And we will see you in the fall. But here's to keeping your sport horse happy and healthy.